bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Help us as we look at your word, O Lord, that we will see what you have to say to us, and help us to see and to feel not only your presence, but to have your Holy Spirit convicting us to the point that we will follow you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at this portion of Scripture, we want to look back a little bit at the Old Testament lesson, and we find there that Abraham was told to take his son Isaac up into the mountain and sacrifice him. We see this as what God was testing him, and as God tested him, God also blessed him because he passed that test of faith and righteousness, believing and trusting in God the Father for all things. He took his donkey, and he took two men with him and his son Isaac, and they went to Moriah, which is now the Temple Mount or the Mount of Olives area in Jerusalem. And when he came from the south and he went up there, it says he traveled for 3 days. And you notice how this kind of matches in. Jesus was in the grave for 3 days and he arose. Jesus was taken to the cross. Jesus was the Lamb of God, which God gave to us. And we see that Jesus had to carry his own cross, and Isaac had to carry his wood that he was to be sacrificed on. So we see all of these similarities. And yet God told Abraham, he says, because you have been faithful in all things and that you have not withheld your only son from me when I tested you, I will bless your nation and I will bless the world because of you. And the world will be blessed, and all the nations of the world will be blessed. And we see that because the Jews who rejected Christ when he was here on earth sent that same gospel to us, the Gentiles, and to us, and we gladly received it. It says the Gentiles received it gladly, and in this it makes the Jews jealous that we accepted something they rejected. And we find then so very plainly God's mighty working power, not only to spread the gospel beyond the Jews or beyond Jerusalem and beyond Judea and Samaria, but to the uttermost parts of the world. And today that is being preached, it is being fulfilled more than once throughout the world. We look at the Revelation text, and we see the church of Ephesus, which is one of the seven churches that received letters from Christ himself. And Ephesus is one of the first ones. It says, you are doing the work of in perseverance, and you're doing it strongly, and you have not quit doing it, but you have lost your first love. And that first love is what? You know, when we look and we accept Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we were excited. We were excited in our hearts, and we wanted everybody to know it. And Ephesus was probably the same way. They were excited, and they knew they were living for the Lord, yet they went about their business, and they went about their programs in their church, and the love they had for Christ dwindled and became cool and cold. And Jesus says, you have lost your first love. And he's asking us much of the same thing. Have we lost our first love? Have we lost the excitement and the joy we had when we knew that we had accepted Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior? Have we lost that joy? And it doesn't mean as much to us because we've lived in that lifestyle for a long time, a long period of time. And yet we find then that Jesus now in John is talking to the believers that believed on him, but they didn't accept him as Christ or as a Son of God. He had gone, if you go through the first part of that chapter, he had had the adulterous woman brought to him, and he had written on the ground, and he had told the Pharisees and the Sadducees, You know, the one without sin cast the first stone. And yet we find they all left. And he asked the woman, where are your accusers? And she says, there is none. And he says, I do not accuse you either, but I do tell you, go and sin no more. Your sins are forgiven. And because you maybe sinned and loved a lot, you have had a lot forgiven. So go and sin no more. And you can imagine that that lady, when she went away feeling the grace of God and the mercy and love of Christ on her, that she proclaimed Christ as the Son of God. So as we look at the scripture lesson, which is found in John chapter 7, beginning at verse 31 through 44, let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. I got to take that back. That should be John chapter 8, beginning at 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will make me free or make us free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do not, and you do what has been seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one Father, God. Jesus said to them, if God was your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my words. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. I read a couple extra verses there to finish the context of what Jesus was speaking about. And Jesus is speaking very truly and very explicitly to each one of us. Have we left our first love? Do we have the love for God that we had when we first accepted Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior? And many times we would have to say, you know, maybe I don't. Maybe I should repent of not having that same love and that desire to spread his kingdom throughout the world. And Jesus is speaking here, and he says, if you what? If you abide, abide where? In my word. If you abide in my word, you will know the truth. And the truth will what? Set you free. How plain and easy to look at that, and we say, well, it's Jesus speaking, and has it ever caught your heart and your attention to realize that God is speaking to you and to me? And as he tells us that we go out in our daily walk, are we willing to serve Christ in all things? Are we willing to live in such a way that people will see Christ in us and want to glorify him? That they will see Christ in us and they will say, I want what you got, and I know you have the truth because you are walking with the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And we find that so very, very true, that if we are on fire for the Lord, we will find that God will take care of us and watch over us and keep us. We find that so very plainly. And we can look into the book of 2 Peter, and in that book it tells us of what God will do for us, and he tells us also and warns us of the deception of false teachers. In 2 Peter chapter 2, if we look at the verse 18, 19, and 20, it says, for when they speak, this is the false teachers, swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves to corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. So we find there that if we know Christ and we're willing to listen to the world, and we then again go back into the world, as Paul told the Galatians, how come you quit running in the faith of God and have turned to idols? Why have you thought that the world was more important than eternal salvation? Why have you done this so quickly? He says the word has been brought to you, the gospel has been brought to you, and yet you turn away from it. Also in 2 Peter verse 9, we would read this, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. And we find there that Peter is not only talking to the Christians in that he was writing to, but he is talking to us today. God will help us overcome all temptation. God will help us as we have temptations. God says, I will not let you have a temptation which you cannot bear. I will make a way of escape of all of these temptations, and through these temptations you will be able to see my glory and my trust and mercy and grace. We don't always see those as temptations come upon us. Many times we give in to the temptations or the ways of the world, and we find that we don't stand steadfast in Jesus Christ and in the doctrine and the teachings that he has given us. If we were to look into Romans chapter 10, is another one in which Christ is saying, I tell you the truth, and the truth will make you free. And so if we see here in verse 9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So many people says, I have read the Bible and I know what it says. You know, if we look at the American history and we look at it and we say, George Washington is known as the first president of the United States and the father of our country. Yet we do not stop to look at all the toil and tribulations he had to go through and how he went in prayer before God to help him not only win the battles in the Revolutionary War, but to proclaim this country as a godly nation. And he did that when he was made president. It says he went into this little church in New York and he knelt and he says, Lord, I will dedicate this nation to you as a godly nation, one in which you can use. And today we find many laws coming into the land that does not proclaim Jesus Christ. We find that these laws are made to satisfy man, and they don't satisfy man because new ones are made to take place of old ones, and man continues to not confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, and they do not believe in their heart, even though they have read the scripture, and they want to do away with Christianity. And we find that our nation then is in peril of many wrongdoings, and we have to keep it in much prayer as long as we keep ourselves knowing that we have Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We see if we have that first love of Jesus Christ in our heart, we would be willing to let our heart proclaim him, whether it's at work or at play, whether it's within our own family or within our relatives, that we would stand up and say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the one that gave me the Holy Spirit, because through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, I accepted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. And therefore, he has dwelt in me through the Spirit. God the Father and God the Son dwells in me because I have opened that door of my heart and my life to him, because I have said, come in, forgive me of my sins, and help me, O Lord, to live for you day by day. Do not let my love for you grow cold. Do not let my love for you turn sour or turn away from my complete allegiance to you. And as we go through the person of scripture that we were reading today, Jesus tells them very plainly, he says, you are of your father the devil because you are following him. You have believed that I came and I could feed 5,000. You have believed I can heal the sick, but you did not accept me as the Son of God and the one that God sent into the world. I did not come on my own, he says. God sent me to reconcile the world back to him. And if we look at our Old Testament, we see Isaac carrying that wood, and he was bound and laid on the altar, and Jesus was nailed to that cross as it was lifted up and dropped into that hole, and he gave his life for you and for me. And the Holy Spirit now dwells in us, because in Pentecost, it was poured out upon mankind that they could have the Spirit of God living in them because they accept what Christ did on the cross of Calvary. And so Jesus tells them, you are of your father the devil because you will not believe or trust in what I have done. As we go into the end of the book of John, it says these things are written, and if we were to write of all the things that Christ did, the world would not hold the books, but these are written that you may believe. Abide, Jesus says. If you abide in my word, I will make you free, because the word will make you free indeed. The Son makes you free, and if you accept Jesus as your personal Lord, you know you are a son or a daughter of Jesus Christ, of God the Father. And in that, we have the right then to sit beside Christ on the throne. He says, I will give you the privilege of sitting with me on my throne, and I will give you the privilege of having the fountain of life and the bread of life and the tree of life you will be able to eat of and live forever in eternal bliss, because you have accepted what I did on the cross of Calvary. As we sang that song, the old rugged cross. When we sang it, did you read, not only sing the words, but see what they meant? You know, on its shame, we seen Christ dying. Yet it was that same rugged cross that brought me to the cross and to my knees, saying, Lord God, forgive me of my sin. Lord God, be my Lord and my Savior, and have your Holy Spirit live within me in such a way that when people see me, they see you, not to glorify me, but to glorify you, Holy Father, because your Son, Jesus, saved me from my sin. Because Jesus died on that cross. Because Jesus was willing to come and be sent by his Father into the world to reconcile the world back to him. Help me be steadfast in your doctrine, in your standing, and be willing to suffer anything that the world might give for you, Lord God, because it is you and you alone that has all glory and honor. You are the one that saved me. You are the one that's keeping me. You're the one that's helping me live for you day by day. And as we pray this and as we say, Lord, help me to have you as my personal Lord and Savior, and that Satan would go from me, I would live under the grace and mercy of God and not the law of sin and not the law which binds me to the world, but I would live under the mercy and grace and redemption that you have given me because of what you did on the cross of Calvary. Heavenly Father, I pray you would be with us. Help us that our freedom is through you, and that as we worship this freedom, O God, that we will stand fast in the liberty of having you for our personal Lord and Savior, that this liberty is not taken for granted, but that we give ourselves to you every day, seeking your will in our lives, and seeking, O Lord, that we love you and not the world, that we stand up for you and not for the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us turn to hymn number 80.